And if you would, please, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to be reading in the 13th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm actually going to go back a little bit to verse 12, and it says this, "And now I will show you the most excellent way." Chapter 13 and verse 1 says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have the faith that I can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, that we shall see face to face. And I know in part, and I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Awesome words from the Apostle Paul, and look forward to hearing what God has to say to each and every one of our hearts through his speaker this morning. God bless.
If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask, please, that you would once again open up to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. The title of this morning's message is The Greatest of These. It's kind of given away about what the subject of the message is about when you hear the words 1 Corinthians chapter 13, more commonly known as the love chapter. So you're kind of given a direction as to the way that we're going with this. But I don't think there's anyone in this room that does not want to be loved. I believe that each and every one of us wants to be loved. And we want to be able as well to give love. And as we look at this particular passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul begins this particular chapter with the greatest of the, if you will, with the gifts and the virtues that God pours out on individuals. And this chapter comes right in the middle of a discussion on the subject of spiritual gifts. We have the tendency to take this chapter out of that context and put it to other areas of life. And that's kind of a dangerous thing to do. But as we're looking in the context of spiritual gifts, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the church there at Corinth, where there are tons of spiritual gift abuses taking place. And so, literally, he begins this particular aspect of his discussion on spiritual gifts with what is the greatest gift that there can ever be. Every other gift is limited. But the gift of love has no limitations. And that's important for us to realize. Because love encompasses all of life. Spiritual gifts often are just used in specific circumstances, for specific purposes, for specific reasons. But the gift of love is a universal gift that is a gift that needs to be exercised in all situations and in all circumstances, no matter what an individual is facing and what they're struggling with. I want to share with you out of this particular chapter, you're going to pass out at this, only three things. I want to share with you, first of all, the comparison. Secondly, I want to share with you the character. And then third, the conquest. So let's look at these aspects as they are brought out in this particular passage of Scripture. I want you to notice to begin with the comparison that the Apostle Paul uses. Because he begins these first three verses by issuing these comparisons. He says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, and do not have love, it profits me nothing. You see, what the apostle is talking about in this particular passage is he is looking at this church at Corinth that is filled with spiritual pride and spiritual spiritual arrogance. I mean, they're just a hooping, hollering, running, jumping, shouting, tongue-speaking group of folks that just have all of the things under control. And Paul says, but yet, you're not willing to deal with the issues of life. And so you're not exhibiting love. You know, we cannot separate the love of God from the discipline of God. Because the Bible tells us that the Lord disciplines those whom He loves. You mean God will paddle me? Yeah, if you need it. Well, that's not very loving of Him, is it? Yeah, it is. Because He doesn't want you getting dragged off into all different types of things. And so, as Paul is looking at this, and he's doing this dissertation on spiritual gifts and what is taking place in the Corinthian church, he puts right smack dab in the middle of that whole thing, chapters 12, 13, and 14, he puts right smack dab in the middle of that, this chapter that talks about the importance of the love of God and how everything, even the exhibition of gifts, must be done in love. And so he uses this bizarre comparison. And I use the word bizarre because he places in these things, in these descriptions, in those first three verses, a little three-letter word, all. And that's kind of an absurd little word to put in there. Because later on, as you go through the chapter, he comes out and admits, I don't have all. Now, look at what he says. He says this, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, in other words, if I do all in this regard, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. You see, Paul is not declaring here that he knows all mysteries, that he has all wisdom. He is not declaring any of that. He is using this as an argument against spiritual pride and spiritual arrogance that the church at Corinth was filled with. People thinking, oh, I'm better than you because I have this spiritual gift, or I'm better than you because I have this spiritual gift, or, you know, we're better than you because of whatever, whatever, whatever. And Paul's saying, look, that's foolishness. It's just plain foolishness. And so he uses this absurd argument. And the unfortunate thing is that too many people take this as Paul saying, I'm the wisest guy that there ever was, that I have more knowledge than you. And I'll tell you what, folks, you want to be real careful when someone says, I have special knowledge that the average Joe doesn't have. Be wary, because the knowledge that we need for the kingdom of God is written in the Word of God. And when people begin to declare outside knowledge, cults get formed. Anybody here ever hear of a group called the Mormons? Or the Church of Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ? I get letters from them almost every week, because they've got a special connection. A guy named Warren Jeffs, you know, he's one of the big shots in the Mormon Church, is in prison. And by the way, he's not in prison for his faith. He's in prison for child abuse. All right? Performing marriages of 9 and 10-year-old children to 40 and 50-year-old men as 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 16th, 18th wives. You know, and so he's got this. He's in prison because of this. In fact, he himself has a wife that, well, when he married her, she was 10. She's now 13 or 14. And he began having relations with her when she was 10. He claims special knowledge, special wisdom. And in his prison cell, Jesus comes down and meets with him face to face and gives him a message for the world. And I mean, this guy, I got a book that thick from them as a gift. It was just a wonderful gift. They sent me this thing that's that thick, that's nothing but letter after letter after letter of Warren Jeffs declaring that Jesus Christ is saying to the world, let my servant Warren Jeffs go, because he is my mouthpiece to this world. Folks, that's garbage. It is absolute garbage. And when people begin to declare, I have special wisdom that no one else has, I have special knowledge that's not in the Word of God. And you see, when the Mormon Church began, it began by this guy named Joseph Smith, who kind of got booted out of a lot of different churches. And the reason he got booted out of a lot of different churches was because he claimed to have special knowledge, because he went digging for something under a tree one day. And while he was digging under that tree, he found some amazing golden plates. And on those golden plates was this foreign writing. And he didn't know what to do with it. And so the the angel Moroni came to him and said, well, you just didn't dig deep enough because there's special stones underneath those plates. You get those stones and you hold them up to your eyes and you look at them like this through the stones and you'll be able to interpret what's on those plates. So he does. Now, no one else could look through the stones and read the plates. No one else was really allowed to see the plates, although they attested that they had, but most of them recanted on their deathbeds saying, no, I never really saw those plates. But out of that came the Book of Mormon, additional writings from when Jesus walked on the earth in the United States. Folks, when people claim this kind of stuff, don't buy it. Don't fall for it. Paul, in this particular passage, he's going, look, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries. And he's not saying that he does. He's saying, if I have this and know all mysteries. But if I don't have love, it's of no importance. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how brilliant I am if I don't have love. It's useless. And if I have all knowledge, if I have all faith, but I don't have love, I am nothing. You see the comparison? Though I speak, though I have, though I pour out, though I give, but if I don't have love, it's of no use. You know what he's saying? Corinthian church, don't become spiritually arrogant. Don't become filled with spiritual pride. That's opposed to God. Seek the love of God. Realize God will discipline you when you step out of line. Take the discipline respectfully and honorably. Now notice as Paul continues on here, he's given this comparison but notice how he moves into the realm of character. Because you see, with the love of God comes character. And notice how he groups this in verses 4 through verse 7. He says this. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. And is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love suffers in this life. We need to understand that. Because when we embrace the love of God, and when the love of God is poured out upon us through the person of the Holy Spirit, as the love of God indwells us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there rises up an enemy who wants to destroy us. And that enemy will do anything. But everything that he does is wrapped up in a lie. Because he's a liar. And he's the father of all lies. Jesus declared that himself. He declared that Satan is a liar. An absolute liar. And the father of all lies. He also declared that God is love. And what is God is love? God is the exact opposite of this liar who hates you, wants to destroy you. God, on the other hand, wants to bless you and wants to give you life. Satan wants to destroy your life. God wants to give you life. And so consequently, when the Holy Spirit of God comes and enters your life, when you repent of your sins and receive Jesus as your personal Savior, God gives you the gift of love. Because he gives you the gift of himself. And in giving you the gift of himself, he is love. And so the character of God becomes a part of your life. Some people don't understand that. Even Christians believe, you know, what if you're a Christian and you see somebody committing a sin who claims to be a Christian, you turn your head the other way. And that's exactly the opposite of what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God says, look, if you catch your brother in a fault, you go to him and you deal with it. Because that's love. That's love. To turn your head and go the other way and ignore it is not love. Because God disciplines those whom he loves. And when he places his character and his nature in us, he does it because of love. And we are to do what God would do in those circumstances. Do you think that God ignores your sin? I ask you, do you think God ignores your sin? No. God addresses it, doesn't he? And that's a picture of the church. The church is not to ignore sin. Because the church has within it the character and the nature of God. And the character and the nature of God is love. And so you always speak the truth. Because the truth is love. You see, that's a part of the character of God. Now, we're going to have to move quickly. I want us to look at the conquest. I want you to notice verse 8. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it'll be done away. And now catch this. For we know in part. Did you catch that? For we know in part. Do you remember the absurd argument that Paul was using earlier? If I have all knowledge. See, here he's saying, I don't have all knowledge. In fact, he's declaring, I'm limited in knowledge. For we know in part. So we're not the great shakes that we look at in verses 1, 2, and 3. And we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. And then he uses this illustration. When I was a child, I don't know Was everybody here a child at one point or another? I think most of us were. There may have been an exception with David Popovich. I don't know.
He still is.
He still is. All right. Paul says this. He says, look, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. Isn't that a bizarre thing to put in there? It's not when you keep it in context. Because remember, he's dealing with the issue of the abuse of spiritual gifts and the childishness that's taking place in the church at Corinth. Here's your childishness. You have a guy in your midst who commits a sin that is not even mentioned among the Gentiles, but that a man has a sexual relationship with his father's wife. Do you deal with it? No. You let it go. And yet you claim to be spiritual. You have a guy in your church who claims to be a brother, who defrauds and steals and cheats people. Do you deal with it? No. And then he says, if you were spiritual, you'd run the guy out. Because a little bit of that leaven will affect the whole body. You keep the body of Christ pure. Those are harsh words. And you know what? When you deal with sin within the body, even the body doesn't understand it sometimes. But you have to deal with it anyways. And it's never pleasant, but it's the grown-up thing to do. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I reasoned as a child. I spoke as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. Church at Corinth, your spiritual arrogance is childish. Get over it. Get over yourselves. You know better than any other part of the body of Christ. Don't buy the deceptions. Grow up. You don't have all wisdom. You don't have all faith. You don't have all knowledge so that you understand all mysteries. But when you're perfected, then you'll know. Then you'll know. Folks, God deals harshly with spiritual arrogance. He deals harshly with arrogance of all kind. But he deals exceptionally hard with spiritual arrogance. And when spiritual arrogance says, I know more than you, it's a dangerous statement. That's a dangerous place to be. And so what's the solution? The solution is this. Seek love. I love that 13th verse, and we hear it so often. It says, but now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Do you know why it's the greatest? Because faith and hope are both temporary. Faith and hope are only necessary for this world. That's it for this world. But love continues on throughout eternity. That's why it's the greatest. We need faith while we walk in this flesh to get from this life to the next. We need hope, a belief in the promises of God to carry us through to our eternal destiny. But we'll have love forever and forever and forever. That's why it's the greatest. So what are we to seek? Love. We find love through full surrender to God Himself. Because God doesn't contain love. God is love. Folks, seek after God with every ounce of your being, with every fiber, with every cell. Seek God. Don't seek spiritual gifts. God will give those to you as He deems necessary. Let's stand. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. We're not going to sing this morning. I'm going to close in a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask Matt to come and lead us into benediction. But, folks, I want to encourage you. Seek the love of God. More than anything else, seek the love of God. I know that we are to pursue spiritual gifts. I understand that. All right? I understand that. But we pursue them through the love of God, through the wisdom of God, because there's a necessity for the people of God to be effective. There's a necessity for the right gifts to be bestowed upon the body. If we want to be the best church that we can possibly be. Now, notice I didn't say the best church in this area. I'm not going to say that. But if we want to be the best church that we can possibly be for the kingdom of God and the purpose that God has raised us up for, then we have to seek the love of God in His entirety. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Now, Lord, please help us in our understanding that we would not be children, but that we would mature, that we would grow up in our faith, that, Lord, we would do open, honest searching of your word, so that we can be effective for your kingdom. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your love for us. Now please, guide us and direct us. Help us in everything that we do to honor you. For it's in your glorious and holy and righteous name we pray.